Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back, Cracked fans, to another edition of the Cracked Interviews podcast. I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. It's going to be one of those weeks here on this show where we have a plethora of college tennis content coming your way. In fact, with the NCAA round of 16 looming this weekend, we figured it was time to bring back one of our favorite bits here on this podcast. It's time for us to roll out our 2024 NCAA press row. Over the course of the next 4 days, I will do my best to interview each of the remaining head coaches for our 32 men's and women's teams still alive in the Division I NCAA tennis tournament. I will try my best also to ask each coach the same series of questions. Things like, what were the highlights of your 2024 season? What were the biggest surprises throughout the course of the year? What is the advice you would give yourself if you could go back to January and do so? And then, of course, we get into things like trivia, non-team-specific storylines, and so much more. I promise all of you will enjoy this exercise, and I sincerely hope this will help prepare all of you for this weekend's upcoming NCAA action. Of course, those round of 16 matches are going to be available on our Crack Rackets YouTube channel. Our coverage starts Friday, so hopefully this will again prepare all of you for that action. Hopefully you listeners will be inspired by what you hear and come tune into our coverage of postseason play. With that said, it's time for our 2024 NCAA press row. Westhoff, let's get to it. The man that sees trying to the amazing Mr. Joining us on the podcast once again today is a returning champion to this show. Of course, death, taxes, and UNC women's tennis head coach Brian Kalbas joining us during postseason play. Coach, welcome back to the Cracked Interviews podcast. How are you doing today?
Wonderful. Thanks for having me, Alex. It's always a pleasure to be on.
Well, it is always good to have you, and obviously we have plenty to discuss. Let's start with last weekend, opening weekend of NCAA tournament play. Obviously, the Tar Heels, no stranger to the Sweet 16, but, you know, 4-0 victories have to feel good. I'm curious how you thought the girls executed on weekend one.
It was good. I mean, it was the start of our exam week, so we've been in exams all week, so that's always challenging, you know, to have to double task there with, you know, studies and preparing for NCAA tournament play. So opening up with arguably one of the nicest people, the best, you know, one of the best coaches that I've been around, and Keith Perrier, he does a great job at Navy, and I'm glad to see him have so much success. And their team really performed well. I mean, they really pushed us in some spots, and probably one of the best four seeds that we've ever played. So that was good for us and really prepared us. We had a great, great crowd in our new outdoor stadium. So that was really awesome. And then unfortunately it rained, had to go indoors and then played a very spirited Wisconsin team that obviously is very good indoors. And and it was a great match. It was a really wonderful match, and happy to get through and excited for this coming Friday.
Yeah, again, a clean performance. Always nice when you can get straight set victories everywhere. One of the things you did play around with, obviously, Annika gets the day off in round number one, and then you go with Tatum in round number two. Is playing with that six spot something you are going to continue to do, hopefully, if you guys can continue throughout the course of this tournament? And I'm just curious what you've seen from Tatum, Thea in year one, asking them to step into that role.
Yeah, we're going to continue to rotate. They are such a great freshmen for us. They bring something different to the table, and Thea has been huge for us. She won a huge match against NC State to give us a chance at indoors. to win. And, you know, she won a huge match at Miami to basically help us clinch the match. Won on the road against Florida State. Thea's, you know, gotten some great experience. She beat Kieran in the fall. She beat, you know, she beat the U.S. Open champion from Stanford in the fall.
Catherine, yeah.
Had some really, really outstanding wins. She's been ranked pretty much the whole year. So, and obviously, Tatum, has had a, just a great spring. She got her, you know, put her red shirt, and was able to play for us right away, which was huge. And won some big matches, clinched the ACC match for us over Kalari, which I think is one of the best sixes in the country. So, you know, both have really demonstrated outstanding performances and we have confidence in both players. And, so it just depends on the day. You know, we talk about who's going to play. It's like who's playing the best, who's healthiest, and who gives us the best matchup. And they both are playing the best right now.
No, certainly a luxury you have on your roster. What went into that decision of taking the red shirt feels like too harsh of a phrasing, but making the decision to play Tatum this year, what went into that thinking?
It was almost simultaneous where, you know, we went to her and, you know, we scheduled a meeting and it's almost like we both said it at the same time. She asked. And so it wasn't like we had to convince her or she had to try and convince us. We just had a good, you know, dialogue with it. And at the time, Scotty's shoulder wasn't great. She hadn't been playing singles. And then Annika's shoulder was bothering her a little bit. So we felt like to give us a little bit more insurance policy. And Tatum really, one of her biggest reservations coming in January was just sitting the whole year and not competing and how she was going to be able to kind of watch our team compete because she loves to compete. So yeah. She was practicing every single day. She came out for individuals every single day. So she was competitively, you know, ready to go. So we felt really good about it. I think she felt a lot of pressure in her first match against Florida State and, I think she felt like she had to win that match for her to be able to stay in there. And I convinced her and tried to convince her that that wasn't the case. That's not how we roll. Mm-hmm. She had no fall, experience or opportunities to get in there for some practice matches or individual opportunities and missed the January period and the first couple of weeks of February. So she was thrown into the fire with the first ACC match on the road against Florida State, who was, as we found out, is very, very good. So, It was a collaborative effort, and she thought about it. I said, talk it over with your parents, and the wonderful thing about her in this situation is that she's not really giving up an NCAA opportunity because she'll be able to play a fall at the end. Sure. Okay, so she'll be able to qualify at the end. She just was kind of contrasting: do I play this spring with this team and play with this group of seniors, which is, you know, an incredible opportunity for her, versus playing her last spring, you know? And so she really wanted to help our team and really garner some experience right now. And that really helped her and helped our team.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, it was a wrinkle none of us expected, but a fun one to this season. And, you know, we've been doing this together for about half a decade now. I don't think you've ever sworn at me. I'm afraid this might be the question where you finally cuss at me, and it happens. But I'm going to ask it anyways. I'm just curious, going back to that national indoors in February, 3 months removed, so hopefully it doesn't sting quite as much, but what was that weekend like for your team? Obviously, the weight of the four-peat at the national indoor, you're the reigning NCAA champions. Now, all of a sudden, Reese hurts her knee, and there's all this uncertainty. Just what was that experience like for you, given, again, coming into January, just how, I think I called it a once-in-a-generation team, like how solid everything felt?
Well, I mean, you have to be lucky to win an NCAA championship. And there are times where we weren't lucky. Things just didn't fall our way. In 2014, we got a really bad call, and it didn't go our way, and we didn't handle it well. And unfortunately, we didn't win that one. And I think there was some fortune that went our way last year, you know, in some respects. I think it was fortunate that we lost to NC State. And I think that was very good for us. And if we wouldn't have lost, I don't think we would have been able to kind of sit back and be like, this is what we need to do. This is how we need to act. This is how we need to prepare. This is how we need to compete. handle adversity. So this year we had some misfortune indoors. Bad things. My wife tells me bad things happened in threes. One, Reese went down. Two, you know, we lose match point with Annika and against Zirinova. And I think, you know, if we win that match, you know, things are different. And then the third one, you know, was a personal thing. It was my mom broke her femur the night of the NC State match. So she was in the Seattle hospital for, you know, for over a month. So there's a lot of things that were difficult. But, you know, we, after the tournament, we were okay. The team was okay. And my mom was okay. It took us a little while to grasp, but we thought Reese was going to be okay. We thought, you know, the doctors in Washington said, it's just a sprain. You know, she'll be back in 2 weeks. When she came back, you know, our doctors looked at her and did an MRI and said, no, it's a meniscus tear. It's serious. She's out. So that, you know, changed, you know, a lot of things. So it took us a little while to kind of get an understanding that, you know what, our team is still very good. We have a lot of experience. And we, you know, obviously, you know, we're going to miss Reese, but, you know, we can do some special things. And then, you know, there's the juniors and the sophomores, and now the freshmen won an ACC tournament title, and they had never done that before.
Yeah, it's been so impressive to follow from afar. And obviously, given all of that adversity, you knew players were going to have to step up. One who has stepped up as much as anyone, Elizabeth Scotty. And let's just start on the single side first, because if I really want to swear you to swear at me, I'll ask, hey, what do you think about Scotty not getting into doubles? But we'll save that for a little later, I promise.
Okay. I have not sworn or swear to my team, but that gets me fired up. But
go ahead. No, I want to give you a chance to talk about it, because I have some thoughts as well, and we can get into it. Could be a therapy session for both of us, but Scotty's undefeated this year, playing in the top two, and just playing a level that, you know, again, I was there for the Shvatapan match, down a set in four love. I can't say I've never seen her do special things before, but match in, match out, what's allowed Scotty to be the Maserati, dare I say, this season?
Well, she just won our team MVP. A feat in of itself, because we have a lot of quality players that could have accomplish that. To be undefeated in singles where she is right now, and to be playing in the top two in the lineup, and to beat the opponents that she's beaten. She beat Connie Ma in the fall, which was really her only singles match. And then this spring, she's, you know, you say Maserati, she's been a Ferrari away again. But she, you know, she is a driving force for our team, and no telling situation then against Heba in the finals against Virginia, where she's down 6-0, 1-0, and just comes back and just plays ferocious tennis, and still was actually bothered by an elbow injury, and she was just not going to be denied. I mean, I've never seen somebody who, you know, set her mind to something and can play with that kind of confidence and aggressiveness. And she's just a runaway freight train, and our team just feeds off it. So it's been impressive to have kind of a front seat in this Ferrari to kind of watch what's going on.
It's been so fun to watch. And for me, the match that comes to mind was the Duke match, where I don't even remember if she finished. I don't think she did, but was down in that second set and manages to flip it. And I feel like that Duke match was a huge win for this group. I mean, I'm sure Miami, Florida State that first weekend on the road afterwards as well, because even if you're fully healthy, that trip can be so difficult. But that Duke win, that I felt like that might have been even a turning point for this group in terms of believing, okay, even without Reese, hey, we're still very, very good.
Well, you know our team really well, Alex, because we lost to State in another dramatic fashion. Yeah. Match point, and Riley had a concussion, probably shouldn't have been playing, and then the match ultimately came down to Tatum against, you know, just an, again, on a four-court scenario. And, you know, they basically had to play that whole match with the match on the line. So that was really difficult, you know, for a freshman. And then to go play at Wake, and we won at Wake. But then the next turnaround was, we, you know, a lot of these teams, our players had never beaten Duke at Duke, which is crazy. Granted, I said that to the team, and Scotty's like, well, we only played there one time. So, because we were supposed to play during COVID. So, But, you know, it is challenging to play at Duke, and that was a huge turning point. I think they had a team-only meeting, you know, after that weekend leading up to Duke, and it really turned the tables, and that was a big turning point. Scotty did not finish, but she was down, you know, set in 5-2 and came back and won that second set. And I think that was just a huge, huge momentum thing. And she wasn't feeling great. She wasn't 100%. So for, you know, again, I think the whole team felt like, you know what, Duke was playing really well at the time. They had just beaten State. And so at State. And so for us to go to Duke and beat them, that, you know, we felt like, you know what, all right, now we can get this thing rolling in the right direction.
Yeah, that, I'm sure you said that, and then a similar speech, again, I'm going to apply, I don't think I can get this at Michigan, but maybe an honorary degree at North Carolina, just theologist specializing on UNC women's tennis. Did you give a similar speech before the ACC tournament final, like, hey, we kind of haven't won this in 2 years, it would be nice to get this trophy back?
You know, what was interesting, we have different players speak on the book that we're reading. And this was Abby's turn to speak on the ACC tournament. And she did all the necessary groundwork for me. I didn't have to say anything. I just repeated everything that she said all weekend long. And she was on point. And you talk about somebody who has such tremendous experience and life lessons and, you know, just been there through everything. So we leaned on her energy, her leadership, and her knowledge that whole weekend. And it was just a memorable weekend for so many reasons. Obviously, beating State that for the first time all year, beating Duke in the first round, having to play Duke in the first round, and then beating State, then having to go play Virginia indoors, which we had lost to them indoors at National Indoors. So there was a lot of challenging things, for us that weekend, and I think we answered every call.
Yeah, and it's always nice to have a ring before you go into the NCAA tournament. And now these Tar Heels guaranteed a ring, certainly with that performance again. So impressive. You mentioned it, Duke first round. That doesn't happen every season. On the other side of the coin, because those were certainly the highlights, obviously, there have been plenty of unexpected developments, and we talked about the Reese injury already. This is where I want to talk about Scotty not getting into doubles, and this is where some of my bias might leak out, because I've said it on shows. Like, Scotty's the best doubles player in women's college tennis right now. Look at the resume. All-American, I think, champ. Fall Mat champ, if not, and NCAA doubles champion. Finalist last year with Reese. I think she was top 30 or 20, whatever it is, with multiple different partners this year. I don't even have a question. I just want to offer you a platform to offer your thoughts.
Well, Alex, very, very frustrating because, she and Reese obviously are still ranked number one, okay? And then she and Carson are ranked 14 or 15 somewhere in the yard. And I know Annika and her won all their matches at ACC tournament and elevated themselves to 21 in the country. I think they're now 24, still within the 32 mark of making the tournament. I know they have a rule that you have to play 10 total matches, and four of those matches have to be in the spring. They played eight matches, and all eight in the spring, and they've been playing, and hot. So again, they're also playing in the NCAA team event. So before, selections or, before the tournament starts, they would have played 10 matches. They asked us to write an appeal. Okay. There's no better situation than this appeal process for Scotty. She's won eight national titles. She's won different national championships with Fiona, okay, with McKenna. Okay. And now with Reese. Okay. She's been an NCAA champion. She's been an NCAA finalist. All right. So if there was ever a situation, and they have an appeal process for a reason, if they ever have a situation, then an appeal process. Okay. I understand, these minimum four matches in the spring, maybe they don't want to have someone play like four matches in the fall and don't play, and they have a ranking that's been holding on. Okay. But they are hot. They're playing well. Okay. They are a team that is and could win the whole thing, with Scotty and Annika. So for them to not have a chance to play, and Scotty coming back for a fifth year and not be able to have a chance to play, what's they always talk about what's best for the student athlete. And the NCAA said there were two reasons why they weren't granted the appeal. Number one, they said that we had ample opportunities to get them those 10 matches. Okay, you know what? We've been trying to get matches. We're also trying to keep healthy for Annika. Okay, and then at the end of the year, we're like, we're gonna play the best players, best teams, and they were the best team. So that the second one really did not hold water for me. They said that there were other teams that had met the criteria of 10 matches and they were not given an opportunity to play. Reese and Scotty, being the number one alternate, are not playing. That's another player, a team that did make the criteria of top 32 that's going to get in. Scotty, okay, and Reese are not. Scotty and Carson are not going to play together because Carson's going to play with Fiona, who they're ranked 5. So that's another team. So again, there's so many things. They're diluting the quality of the tournament, okay, by having other players that maybe have met the criteria of matches played, but not quality of wins. So it really frustrated me. And I said, why have an appeal? They shouldn't even have an appeal process if they're not going to look at it, one that is a slam dunk. So it was obviously, you could tell I'm heated, but very frustrating for Scotty and Annika. Annika had never been in the NCAA doubles tournament, and she's worked on her doubles play, and she's now playing really well. So it's just unfortunate that two fifth-year seniors, okay, who've done it the right way, just didn't get an opportunity to play in it. So
I couldn't agree. I think we all hear the passion in your voice. That's why I wanted to give you the chance to talk about it. And again, just look at the resume. You said it. The national championships with three different partners, an NCAA reigning NCAA doubles finalist, like, should have an opportunity to go out on her own terms. It was something you noticed right away when you looked at the individual selections. And yeah, again, like top 25 with three different partners. Has that ever happened in a season? I would argue, Haley might have done it once, other than that.
Well, she's going to finish the year. She and Reese are probably going to finish the year ranked 1 in the nation, and so I don't understand how you cannot reward somebody the opportunity who has won an NCAA title, NCAA finalist, and is number 1 in the nation, not an opportunity to play in the NCAA tournament with a player that they're in the top 32 in the rankings. So,
yeah, it's really unfortunate. So then, other than, hey, play Annika and Scotty, two other matches just to get them to 10 for sure, I create a time machine. You can go back to January. What advice might you give yourself about this season?
I would have made sure that Scotty played the X amount of matches with every partner. She's had 18 teammates. This is the amazing thing about Scotty. She's had 18 teammates. And she's played doubles with 15 of them. You talk about most unselfish, committed team player. She's played with 15 of her 18 teammates. So I would have loved to have played her with Annika in, a lot more matches and maybe more with Carson. Okay. So, that's where I, maybe their fault to me, which I take full blame, but, they should not have had an appeal process because I think it still should have been a slam dunk situation. They still played 8 of the 10 matches.
Absolutely. I mean, again, did she play with Sophia? Was that a senior day pairing?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. It's a smart one. I like that pairing. I made a joke to Dustin Taylor because he was the assistant coach at Virginia when I would have graduated, which was 2017, all those years. I was like, look, all I would have asked for, me and Luca Quarantelli, 3-double senior day. Like that would have been me. One match, parents come, they get the flowers, everyone leaves happy. I'm glad that pairing got at least a run on senior day. That's great coaching by you. And look, I know you trust all of them. How could you not? You've won a national championship with this group before. But for the record, every coach has answered this question. So I'll ask you, with all the options you have, it's 3 all overall in the match, third set to decide things. Who's the player on court who you say, you know what, win or lose, I'm going to be able to sleep tonight?
You're not going to like my answer.
I'm ready to hear it.
Honestly, I would take any of our players. Swear to God. Yeah. I can make a case for everyone. Tatum or Thea have been there as freshmen. And you guys say, maybe you don't want the freshmen in there, but they've been there. Thea came through in a big match, actually hit a volley to win the match against State. Tatum beat, clinches the ACC final, Okay. Honestly, Annika, you were there for the Zirinova match.
Yeah.
Zirinova won it. I think Annika did everything in her power, okay, to be successful in a most pressurized situation. Okay. Mm-hmm. Carson. I mean, who would want Carson after what she did last year against Rejeki? Okay. I mean, the obvious choice would be like Fiona or Scotty, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. But Riley is the bulldog. Okay. An absolute bulldog. Okay. She will run through a wall for our team if she has to. Okay. If she has to hit a zillion balls, she was down a set 5-1, 30 love to Abrams, and she ends up winning 17 points in a row because she refuses. You know, one of my biggest mistakes as a coach was as a freshman, she was undefeated against Pepperdine. I did not play her. Okay. Cause I couldn't play seven players. We had seven qualified players so we still have that problem right now, but I would take really anybody, okay, in our situation because they're all deserving. I think they all have the experience and the fortitude to come through for our team.
Here's why I'm going to accept that answer, because you actually made the case for all of them. And so because you made the case for each of them, I accept it. That's fair. That makes sense. Again, it's the luxury of having the roster certainly that you do. Moving away from your team specifically, is there another team, coach, player, whatever it may be, storyline from this 2024 college season that's impressed you?
I mean, obviously you got to look what Oklahoma State and Chris is doing. I mean, it's in 2021, we went undefeated. I would have loved to have been able to host the NCAAs at that point.
Sure.
I think that would have been really nice. So to win indoors and really they almost lost to UCLA in the kickoff. So for them to be close to not making indoors and then winning indoors and then going undefeated through the regular season, truly remarkable. Give them a lot of credit. There's a lot of good storylines. I mean, I think this year is probably as wide open as any. I mean, there's a lot of really good teams. Stare at Virginia has done an incredible job. They've beaten us this year. So I think I really have a lot of respect for what she's done. I mean, obviously, Michigan's had a great year. Stanford's had a great year. Georgia's really coming on. Texas A&M, obviously, with getting Brandstein, on board. That's a good storyline. So, There's a lot of really good stories going into this NCAA round of 16. Really great matches. I mean, look at State versus Stanford. That's a rematch from semifinals last year. Great match. So there's a lot of obviously Miami beating Florida. That was an incredible match for Miami and we know. We were down match point against Miami at Miami, so we know how good they are. So there's, ACC, I think I listened to your podcast earlier. You said ACC was down. We almost had five. We almost had Georgia Tech beating Texas. So most of any conference. So I don't think we were that down.
Yeah, let me say I threw that take out in February because then I got to call it all season long, and I couldn't agree with you more. And, it's funny, I was going to ask what's your favorite Sweet 16 matchups, but you kind of ran me through it there. I do want to ask you a follow-up, and I think the statute of limitations has passed, so I can ask about this season now because, trust me, it's opening up a wound for me as well, Coach. The 2021 team, the last time we saw an undefeated team have a real shot at a national championship on either the men's or women's side. And, again, you guys win the national indoors, you get to the semifinals. It's not the most complicated. Just how hard was that? What was that experience like for fans who are wondering what Oklahoma State's going through right now?
Really difficult. Really, really difficult. As every round, the pressure mounts, as I said, you have to have some luck. For us, the luck was losing, okay, last year. And I don't think, who knows what would have happened, but it would have been really hard for us last year if we didn't lose to really have played State in the finals, potentially after beating them in the ACC, you know, and then beating them, you know, 7-0 like we did without Diana Schneider at our place, it would be like, oh, you know, this is going to be easy. So to me, it gets much tougher every single round. Maybe Oklahoma State has that advantage where they get to play at home, they get to have their normal routine, and that pressure isn't as mounted, you know. But still playing at home in an NCAA tournament, you don't want to let anybody down. So every match, you know, every round, there's more and more pressure. So that's why what Chris has done so far, it's been really, really impressive.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. And for the record, I have an asterisk next to it, I know. But 2020 UNC goes undefeated. I was at that national indoors. I've given this take too many times. I tell it to you every time I have you on the show. But, you know, now that there's an unequivocal trophy in the case, you can put up an asterisk trophy in the case as well and say the 2020 team would have had their spot there, because we all saw that national indoors. My trivia question for you, can you name the last undefeated Division I men's and women's tennis champions?
I think it was Florida women's in 2017. Am I right?
So they took a loss. It wasn't 2017 Florida.
Okay. Was it Stanford then?
It was Stanford. Do you know what year? My hint is it's been a little bit.
I want to say it was like 2005 or 2006.
I'm going to take that as a victory. 2006 Stanford, the last women's team to go undefeated. The first person who didn't look it up beforehand to answer that correctly, other than Chris Young, who's chasing that right now. So makes sense that he knew it. Can you name the last men's team?
It went undefeated. Last men's team, would it be Virginia, right?
It was Virginia. Can you name the year?
It was at Illinois.
Okay, so I'm counting that as a half point if you can get the year.
Get the year. The year was 2018.
2013 was the undefeated Virginia champ. But I'm going to let you know, 3.5 points. You and Allison Ojeda are now tied for the lead. Josh Goffey went 4-for-4, but he cheated. He acknowledged he cheated. And he actually just came in prepared, so I can't knock him. But no asterisk next to it. Tied with Coach Ojeda, 3.5 out of 4. I love it, Coach Kalbas. Well done by you. As it relates to this year, is there a national championship favorite right now?
I don't think so. I really don't. I mean, maybe you can say Oklahoma State because they're undefeated and they're hosting. They've had some close match. It's not like they've been dominant. So I think it's wide open. I mean, there's a lot of teams that could say, you know what, I see the path to victory here and there. Even teams like a Cal or a UCLA, you know, there's teams. Texas gets, you know, Zenilova, you know, completely healthy. There's a lot of teams this year that can, you know, Pepperdine has proven that they're a dominant force. So there's a lot of teams that are, it's really as wide open as it's ever been, you know. So I'm excited, you know, for us, and I'm excited for the whole, you know, NCAA tournament.
You brought up your former player, now Virginia women's tennis head coach, Sarah O'Leary, who has had the only team she's lost to are you guys and Michigan. I know you have to compete against them. That's probably not fun. How cool has it been to see her success this year?
Incredible. I mean, it's incredible. She's done an amazing job. Does it the right way. She's got fifth-year seniors that love playing for her, that continue to get better, and they're playing their best tennis. And that's, you know, that's a tribute to a coach, a program, a culture, when your players, you know, at the end of their career, the fifth year, they're still hungry. Subhash is playing the best tennis. Carson's playing really well, and Subhash is just playing unbelievable tennis. And that's a credit to, you know, to Sarah and Peachy, you know, to get their players not just coasting through the finish line, but excelling through the finish line. And so just really proud of what they've done, the culture they've developed, and you could see, you know, their program's really, really on the rise. I mean, it's easy when you got a Navarro or you know, you got, you know, playing number one, you have a chance to, you know, you're up basically 2-0, win a doubles point, win one singles, and then find two more matches. But they're just strong everywhere in the lineup 1 through 6, and they could flip their lineup upside down, and Kalar could play one, and you know, and obviously Shake has played the bottom of the lineup at times. So they've done a really good job and really proud of what they've done. So, yeah.
And it's a win for the Coach Calabas coaching tree as well, which, again, we're always rooting for. My last question for you, I was there, 2023, National Indoor Semifinal. It's as high of a level of a women's college tennis match as I have ever seen when you guys knocked out the Aggies last season. Now, there are some new characters certainly in the mix for them, some new pieces in for you guys as well. But talk me through what this matchup's going to look like Friday night under the lights. I'm doing the anti-rain dance because that match deserves to be played under the lights. What's it going to take for the Tar Heels to advance?
It was a great match last year. It was one of the best matches that I can remember. I mean, it was epic, you know, every line. I mean, it was, you know, I mean, every single match was really great. So, and then losing the doubles point in about maybe 20 minutes and then having to kind of battle and compete in all the matches, the way we did, Scotty's match winning in three sets was gigantic against, I think, one of your best favorite players,
Goldsmith
lefty.
Never lost. She never lost. It was great. It was a great match. Yarlagada versus Daria at six was the best six singles match I've ever seen.
Well, and then one that doesn't get a lot of credit that kept her out there was Abby versus was against
I think Kupris.
Sorry, Kupris, and that was just epic. And then obviously Reese beating Stoyana, and then Fiona and Brandstein. You know, I think they split sets, but and then obviously Carson beating the USC girl transfer
Ewing.
Salma Ewing. So, yeah. It was just one for the ages, and I think every match had its own little battle. And we expect a similar match this time. Honestly, we really do. They're coming in with a lot of talent and just a lot of, you know. Yeah, they got both of our eyes wide open, and we're excited and ready for the challenge.
Obviously the goal will be outdoors. It should be under the lights, right? They'll be turned on from the start.
Yeah. We played Navy at 6 o'clock last Friday, and similar situation, and the lights were turned on pretty much, you know, from the start of doubles on. Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
It looks so beautiful. I can't emphasize this enough. The new facility turned out so nice outdoors. It's gorgeous. I could tell you exactly what commercial is going to come up on the Tar Heel video feed. Like, I have the 30-second one memorized, the 15-second version, the one you can hit the skip ad version of as well. Spent a lot of time watching the Tar Heels this year, and obviously, you know, this senior class, it's meant a lot to college tennis fans everywhere, and we're all looking forward to seeing them compete in their final NCAA tournament. And, you know, again, I always look forward to these sorts of conversations as well. So, Coach Calabas, appreciate you taking the time to join us. Appreciate you always tolerating my nonsense, and looking forward to watching the Heels compete on Friday.
Alex, it's always a pleasure. You make me laugh. You do so much great for college tennis, men and women, and I really appreciate all your support and friendship, and tennis is so much better when you're involved, so thank you.
I appreciate it. Good luck this weekend, Coach.
Thanks, Alex. All right.